Good evening, and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY Community Public Radio. I'm Pamela Varconi, your host this evening. Tonight's program is Honoring Veterans by Aiding Veterans. Joining us in the WDIY studio is Tom Applebach, director of the Lehigh County Office of Veterans Affairs. Tom served for 21 years in the military, 12 years on active duty as a weather forecaster in the United States Air Force. Wanting to continue his military service, Tom joined the Pennsylvania Army National Guard. After 3 years with the Guard, he joined the United States Army Reserve, where he was trained as a civil affairs specialist, serving as an instructor in civil affairs for 5 years at Fort Dix, New Jersey. Tom and his office provide service, support, and assistance to veterans and their families throughout the county of Lehigh. Also with us in the studio is Lisa Kay, Director, Veteran Service Officer for Veterans Affairs of Monroe County. Lisa holds a national accreditation through the Department of Veterans Affairs. She also serves as Woman Coordinator for Female Veterans for the PA State Association of County Directors. In that position, she provides feedback and information for Pennsylvania's 67 county directors on how to best serve the needs of female veterans. Lisa is a Persian Gulf veteran of the U.S. Army, serving 3 years active duty. Thank you, Lisa, for coming down from Monroe County to be here, and thank you, Tom, for being here. We are hoping that we will also have Major Nathan Klein joining us on the phone. Major Klein has 42 years of active and ready reserve time, including flying 65 bombing missions as a bombardier navigator in B-26 Marauders in the European Theater of Operations during World War II. Major Klein's numerous awards and honors include the Distinguished Flying Cross and the French Legion of Honor. He presently is liaison to the military for the City of Allentown and President Emeritus of Lehigh Valley Military Affairs Council, where he is a founding member. And as I said, we're hoping Major Klein will be joining us shortly. So welcome also to our WDIY listeners, whether you are a veteran, care about or know a veteran, or as a citizen, you're concerned about the welfare of our veterans, tonight's program will provide you with insight and information as to the challenges many veterans face along with the services and resources available to veterans in the greater Lehigh Valley and Pocono area and across the Commonwealth. Let's begin with some historical perspective. We want to talk just a little bit about how the Veterans Administration got started and how this country has supported its veterans throughout all of our wars. And I do want to make clear right here at the outset that Tom and Lisa do not work for the VA. They are each county employees. Lisa is employed by Monroe County, and Tom is employed by Lehigh County. So that is an important distinction that we wanted to get off to you right at the beginning of the program. So the VA has actually only been in existence as a legal entity since 1930. However, doing a little research for this program, I found that going back to the Revolutionary War, we actually supported our veterans and had a pension fund, and then things really got ramped up after the Civil War when there were so many who died and so many who were wounded. And that's really when pension funds really started. That's actually when our national cemeteries opened up. I believe they opened 70 national cemeteries for veterans after the Civil War. So I know that those are part of the services that we now offer and that our veterans count on. Tom, what is it that you think is the most important things for veterans to know this evening?
I think I'd like to start out with something we talked about a little bit earlier, which was the pension program with aid in attendance. It's a program to help low-income veterans and their surviving spouses to help offset costs for generally for medical care, for assistance. Our problem is trying to get the word out that people are aware of that program, and we work very hard, Lisa and I, to get that word out and then to help the veterans and their surviving spouses get those benefits. Since we don't work for the VA, we don't decide those claims, but our offices put together the claims to what we like to call ready to go, that the VA can make a decision quickly, and we can get those benefits into the person's hands as fast as possible.
Well, in our pre-show interview, you two were saying that each of your offices in your respective counties are basically one-stop shops for the veteran. And I think that's so important tonight because I've always been passionate about taking care of our veterans. I'm actually the mother of a Marine veteran of the Persian Gulf War. And I think that I want our audience to understand that there are just so many more resources out there, and there are wonderful folks like you in their county that they can walk through the door and really get information and get support and find out everything they're entitled to. Let's talk a little bit more about aid in attendance, because I think that is a really important program, and a lot of people do not know about it. And I will take just a personal perspective here for a moment to say that my husband and I were helping with the care and support of his very elderly mother. She's in her late 90s now, and we found out that she was eligible for aid in attendance, and it was wonderful for her. It made her feel that she had something that she had earned and was entitled to, and it quite frankly helped the family, everyone. So we are actually a beneficiary of this program, and I consider myself pretty well informed, and I did not know about it. So we had to find out, in fact, Tom, through your office, about it. We're going to keep talking about aid in attendance. So Tom and Lisa, tell us about how people would qualify for this and exactly what it is.
Well, the first thing we should point out is that that is only eligible for wartime veterans, or veterans who served during a period of war. Doesn't mean that they served in combat, but those periods, or those wartime periods, are set by Congress. You know, the Korean War, World War II, of course, Vietnam, but those start and end dates are set specifically by Congress. But if the veteran served, and there are some minor qualifiers, but served during those periods, then they or their surviving spouse are eligible. That's step one. Mm-hmm. And then there are some income and assets limitations that we take a look at to help us to determine, you know, whether their claim to go forward, to put mm-hmm. the paperwork together.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the two really important things for our audience to remember is that we have got a requirement that the veteran must have served during what Congress says are war or combat periods, even if they didn't serve in combat.
Correct.
And it also does apply to a spouse.
Yes.
So, if you are the if you are the spouse of a veteran and the veteran has passed away, you can still qualify for this, and I think that's very important.
Absolutely.
If they meet the other qualifications. Okay, we're going to try one more time. Do we have Major Nate Klein with us?
Yes, you do.
Good evening, Nate.
Good evening.
All right, Nate. We're really glad to have you. We were starting to talk a little bit about kind of the history of the VA and the services that they offer, and we got off into aid in attendance since you were not here. But now that you are here, tell me a little bit, Nate, because it's a real pleasure and an honor to be able to have a member of the Greatest Generation and a World War II veteran on the program tonight. And what kind of transition did you all have when you came home from World War II? Was there any structure whatsoever, or did you just all kind of land at home and go back to your lives?
Well, in my case, I was shot down twice, and so they had me in a rest place in Scotland for a couple of weeks before I went back. Fly, but when I returned, I flew 65 bombing missions, and before I was 21, and so when I completed that, I returned about a week before armistice, which was May the 8th, I believe, and I just it was amazing. I returned to let's say, normal life. I returned to Muhlenberg College and proceeded with my life. And it wasn't until a few years later when I ended up with PTSD, which I probably had before but didn't know it. And so that was taken care of. And then I was called into business with my parents. And so that was my life at that time.
Okay, Nate, they didn't call it PTSD back then. I think they referred to it as shell shock or war
and
fatigue or
whatever.
Battle fatigue.
Battle fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up at Friends Hospital in Philadelphia for 3 weeks, and so that's when it first hit me, and that was a couple of years later, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, but fortunately, I'm retired. I've got 32 years in between active duty and reserve, active reserve. So I don't come through the VA. I come directly through the Defense Department.
Well, and that's very somewhat similar situation to Tom and Lisa here with us in the studio. They also do not work for the VA. They work with the VA, but they do not work for the VA. And I think that's an important distinction. Nate,
yeah, well, I don't get the benefits from the VA, is what I'm saying. I don't not that I work for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get their benefits. I get my benefits directly from the Department of Defense.
Okay.
So I don't use the VA at all.
All right. You know, Nate, what I wanted to do you want to address that, Tom?
I just wanted to, Nate, do you mind if I talk something personal about you, or since you brought it up?
whatever you want.
Well, we hadn't really talked about this subject yet. I assume we would get to it later. But in addition to, we talked about pension, but we also work a lot of veterans' claims for injuries and ailments incurred during service. And I'm currently working with Nate on a claim, a VA pension, a compensation claim for PTSD. Nate, I'm still working on it.
Is this Tom?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I didn't know.
Okay. Sorry, Nate. But I guess I wanted to use this opportunity to point out that this many years later, we can still put in those claims.
Mm-hmm.
That veterans should know that they didn't lose their opportunity because it happened 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They can come to me and Lisa, and we can figure out what can we do. And if we can do something, you know, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the opportunity is always there at our, as Lisa says, our one-stop shops.
Mm-hmm. That's really a very important thing for the audience to know. Thank you, Tom, for pointing that out again, because especially I think with our Vietnam vets,
mm-hmm.
who really, I think a lot of them, not that World War II, nobody wants to go to any kind of war whatsoever. But Vietnam, I think, was particularly hard on our soldiers because of the political situation. And so not only did they have the trauma of war in the jungles and all that they went through, but then they came home and they didn't have the support that a lot of other wars had. And now our Vietnam vets are starting to really get older, yes. And things are starting to show. You know, the cracks in the facade are starting to show. So that's really important that they know that they can still come to the two of you or their county director and they can put in a claim and get help.
Absolutely.
No matter what.
There's a lot of suppression and guilt,
yes.
sometimes associated with that, where they feel that there's people far off that need it more,
mm-hmm.
and you know that's just simply not the case. They're getting care too.
They should never feel that they're taking a benefit away from someone else.
Right.
Something
exactly.
that they earned mm-hmm. for their service.
Okay, Nate. I wanted to, while we have you, because I know you're going to have to run off to a meeting in a little while, but I wanted to ask you to talk a little bit about some of the things that you have been involved in here in the community. I know that you've been very involved in expanding services. And that's very much kind of what you and some of your organizations do, is to make sure that veterans are taken care of. They have all the services they're entitled to. And I know that you now have some additional services that you wanted to talk about, including the fact that there are some private hospitals that vets can go to. So could you address a little bit the services that you and some of your organizations have been involved in?
Yes, of course. And before I do, I want to give Tom a compliment. He's been doing, I understand, a great job. So, Tom, thank you for your service. In regards to my participation, first of all, I'm on four military boards. I am the liaison officer for the city of Allentown for all the military. I'm one of the founders of Lehigh Valley Military Affairs Council. We have 180 organizations, so we're of organizations, and we have many departments, one of which, or a couple, one is with for the homeless, and other is to try to have the VA be more efficient in their services. So what we were able to do was get the four hospitals together.
Now, those four hospitals, Nate, are for those listeners who might not know.
Okay, that's the Lehigh Valley Hospital, St. Luke's Hospital, Easton Hospital, and Sacred Heart.
Okay, thank you.
And we got the chairman of each one together, and they have agreed to service through the VA. So not for all the problems that they have, but most of them, when they come in now, when you come into any one of their hospitals, the first thing they do is ask you if you're a veteran. And so they work their claims through the VA. And again, there's always a problem with the VA. They're pretty slow, but this is beginning to take effect. And I worked with the Veterans Sanctuary, where right now they have 12 patients that are PSD, PTSD patients, and I spent time with them. I was just there a couple weeks ago. So these are some of the things that I'm doing. And besides that, I'm on the board of the Lehigh Valley Hospital and the executive board and Allentown Economic Development. I'm the treasurer of the History Museum and so forth. I'm on 14 boards altogether.
Well, Nate, you are the perfect example of why they call it the greatest generation. We thank you for all of your service, both military and to the community, and for everything that you do.
Well, thank you very much.
We really appreciate you. We really appreciate you coming on tonight. And I know that you're leaving us to run off to a meeting, and we thank you. We are going to take a short break here in the studio, and you can please stay with us on WDIY Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio, and we'll be right back.
Oh, ma'am?
Yes.
I'm going to have to leave to go to my meeting, so I'll be signing off, and thank you very much for calling on me, and again, I want to say that Tom is doing an excellent job.
All right. Thank you so much, Major Nathan Klein. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It is 6:19, 62 degrees in the Lehigh Valley. Lehigh Valley Discourse will continue in just a moment.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Discourse, where tonight's program, Honoring Our Veterans by Aiding Our Veterans, is examining the transition process our veterans face once they leave the military and the various benefits and services that are available to assist with that process. Joining me in this discussion is Tom Applebach, Director of the Lehigh County Office of Veterans Affairs, and Lisa Kay, Director, Veterans Service Officer for Veterans Affairs of Monroe County, as well as Woman Coordinator for Female Veterans for the PA State Association of County Directors. Tom and Lisa, thank you very much for staying with us here. I know that you, as we went to break, you did not have a chance to address the program that Major Klein was talking about before he left. So would you two like to talk about that?
Well, basically, in the healthcare system, you have to be assigned a primary doctor with the VA before anything on the outside can really be taken care of. We just want to make clear of that. St. Luke's, Lehigh Valley, and other medical facilities are under contract with the VA, but they're not necessarily, you can't just walk in and just see a doctor. You know, that's on the private sector. So.
The VA has to refer.
Yeah, has to be through referral services.
Okay, but I think it is important to know and that those services can be obtained once they've gone through the proper procedure at a provider that's been approved.
Right. Yeah. And LVMAC that Nate spoke about has done yeoman's work to get the hospitals on board.
Rather than the alphabet, why don't we tell them what that means?
Lehigh Valley Military Affairs Council.
Okay.
They've done yeoman's work to get the hospitals on board to work more closely with those who served in the military and to understand the unique needs. It's been, I don't want to speak for them, but I know it's been a long struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got everyone pretty much on the same page.
The Lehigh Valley Military Affairs Council has actually been very active and very proactive and has done quite a lot for veterans in the Lehigh Valley. They have. I want to segue into the unique needs of women veterans. Mm-hmm. Because we are seeing more and more women join the military. We are now seeing women, the research that I did showed that women literally, there is almost no job in the military that women are not doing now. There still seems to be some delineation on combat. But we have women just about running and doing everything in the military, which of course puts them in the same category for stress and for injuries and for exposure to the elements and disease and everything else that our male soldiers are exposed to. And the truth is that physically, women are different and do respond differently to those stresses. I can't hand off to you, Lisa, though, without saying how wonderful I think it is that three women now have completed Army Ranger School. I just think that is absolutely outstanding. So, Lisa, talk a little bit about the services that, since you are statewide in that capacity.
Well, basically, like what you said, the military is opening the doors to more jobs for women, which now you're going to see an influx of more female veterans out of the service. And you're right, there are significant differences in both structures of male and female, but depression is similar, joint pain and such. By nature, women can handle depression and stress a little bit better than our male counterparts, but nonetheless, it's still there. And a lot of females that I've seen come into the office may not be frontline combat, but they are behind the scenes doing coordinates to get the troops in a certain destination or trauma nurses and such. So we do see a lot of that. They're there in the elements. And that's a lot of the female veterans that come into our office. That's what we're seeing. A lot of that.
Well, when they transition out, Lisa, they seem to have, in a way, if they don't have like a strong family structure, they seem to have a little bit more difficult time. There, it looks like, from the information you provided to me, it looks like they are a little bit more likely than their male counterparts to become homeless. Sometimes it's a little bit harder to find a job.
and that they have often have to deal with issues of, you know, some sort of domestic violence or maybe something that even happened to them in the military. They come out with PTSD, mm-hmm. or they come out with military sexual
trauma.
Mm-hmm. So can you address that a little bit, how you try to identify that? And
well, we're a special breed, as you may know. So we're hardcore while we're in the military, and getting out, there really is no transition, male or female. Like there is very limited transition resources, and you know, we're all in one. We raise our right hand, we took one oath, wore the same uniform, served under the same branch of service. So there's really no defining each other separately, you know, other than barracks possibly and jobs. Other than that, when we come out now, it becomes, we have to adapt. Just like we had to adapt to military life, now we have to adapt back into civilian life. So it's not easy for anybody. Certainly those statistics are basic. I don't really know the reasons behind that. Lack of resources, probably. A lot of females might have children, and when you're talking homeless situations, there's not a lot of availability for that. As far as the health end of the health side, plenty of options now for women. The VA Medical Center in Wilkes-Barre has a fantastic women's clinic. I'm very proud to be a part of that, giving me a lot more information than even my civilian doctors have given me before. So there are, as we're seeing more females come out of the service, a little more focus is on their needs too. Mm-hmm. So that's their, like I said, Wilkes-Barre has a fantastic program up there, and it's just raising awareness and letting people know you don't know who lives next door to you, or is it the, you know, checkout line, you know, female, male, vet, you have no idea mm-hmm. who they can be. Mm-hmm. So people just assume we're under that assumption that, you know, you're a vet, we had no idea. And that seems to be a problem too. So I think a lot of females just kind of hide behind that. They don't mm-hmm. really present themselves as such.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting, if I could jump in.
Of course.
We're making the same mistake mm-hmm. here, but we're working hard to have people quit asking, are you a veteran? Mm-hmm. And the question should be something to this form of, did you serve or did you serve in the military? What they found is some men won't say, I'm a veteran, but there's a majority of women who will not identify as mm-hmm. veterans. But if you ask, did you serve in the military, the answer is, well, yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still that disconnect going on. And shout out to Lisa, that the VA, the clinic up at the VA mm-hmm. is terrific. The VA's recognizing that there's women veterans now, and they're working hard, I think, to turn their ship around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, isn't it now mandated that every veterans hospital has to have a women's services?
Well, the woman coordinator has to be in every facility.
Okay.
Women, the hospital per se, not necessarily the smaller clinics outside of the hospital. But yes, that is a mandated through the VA that they have to have a woman coordinator in place then to offer resources and what's available.
Mm-hmm. What we want to make sure our audience knows is that within this broadcast area, which is fairly large, there are three military hospitals, three VA hospitals within a driving distance, and they could really go to any one. They're not prescribed by county or district where they have to go. Is that correct?
Correct. I think there's 18 counties encompassed with Wilkes-Barre, Allentown, and Bangor. Those Allentown and Bangor are the satellite clinics, if you will, to the Wilkes-Barre Hospital.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we've got Wilkes-Barre, and we've got Lebanon.
Well, Allentown.
Well, if you're talking about the medical center, Wilkes-Barre VA Medical Center, Lebanon Medical Center, mm-hmm. and Coatesville, Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So they're the larger, more like hospitals.
Right.
Correct.
Correct.
Right.
And then there are the clinics, which we have here in Allentown, mm-hmm. and
Bangor, Slate Belt area.
And Bangor mm-hmm. for the Slate Belt area. So there's actually three hospital and two clinic options mm-hmm. within our broadcast area, and I think that's really a wonderful thing to know.
Oh, yeah.
I did take an opportunity before we went on the air, and I realize these things sometimes are very subjective, but there is an organization called Health Grove, and they're kind of an aggregator for medical information and hospital information, and they have a section of their website that specializes in veterans hospitals, and they have a ranking system that is partly from their own information that they glean, and partly from surveys from veterans who have attended the hospital. And the Lebanon Hospital actually scored very, very high in the ratings. And Wilkes-Barre and Coatesville were acceptable. They were in the mid-range, but Lebanon had scored very, very high with a rating of 93, a score of 93. So the point is we've got three very good, acceptable hospitals within our area. So, Lisa, let's go back to women. I know that there's some unique situations, and this is outside the purview of your office. I understand that. But I just want to make our audience aware, because I think we've all agreed tonight that there is not a lot of information or kind of cognitive thought out there about the female veteran. You had told me, Lisa, in the pre-show interview that, for instance, finding gear that fits properly on smaller frames is sometimes difficult and can sometimes cause, you know, damage.
Yeah, I did a little research on that when I had to make a presentation at our conference, and I didn't really think about that. I had no idea that was an issue. But yes, when they're going to make X amount number of any type of gear to put on for any soldier at that point, it can cause, you know, skeletal damage and on your back and hips. You know, we're all not, our frames are totally different in that sense. So the Army has only a small amount of female specific body armor vests per se, and then out of like 75,000 soldiers, there might be only 3,000 that are actually geared to fit women. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're noticing a pattern of that, things to that degree.
Mm-hmm. Also, there seems to be a little bit higher rate of certain kinds of conditions from women being in situations where, for instance, they may not be able to access a bathroom as readily as they could under normal mm-hmm. circumstances. Mm-hmm. And that makes women more prone to UTIs and to all sorts of, you know, dehydration and that sort of thing.
Yeah, they'll tend not to take care of themselves to avoid any bad situations, and, you know, on deployments and such. Mm-hmm. Even in the regular active duty stations and things, they, you know, do I want to leave in the middle of the night to cross the hall? And, you know, there are some fear factors involved, mm-hmm. And again, kind of in relation to being in college almost, you know, so that is an issue. Again, not something I was really aware of and saw much of that myself, but we are getting some of that in our offices.
Mm-hmm. There's also a higher suicide rate percentage-wise mm-hmm. among women. Why do you think that is?
Again, just, you know, we don't really know. Military sexual trauma, a lot of times we're judged, we're told, and I'm putting myself in there as well just as an example, but, you know, a lot of doctors and such think it's all in your head, you know, or you must be hormonal. There's so many different factors as they're looked at. So for a female veteran to even come forward, and that's even a big if they come forward, claiming any type of military sexual trauma, they're just misunderstood or they're not taken seriously. And that seems to be a big indication that, they fall into a deeper depression. They're just not getting the help that they need, which is so vital to have that women's clinic up there to kind of sit down and really understand, let them know that they're not alone. There's mm-hmm. so many others out there. And, you know, we see that with male and female, too. You know, they think they're the only mm-hmm. ones. Mm-hmm. There's thousands of them out there. But according to the hospitals and their stats, it's talked about every day, but it's not one of the top 10 conditions because a lot of people just don't come forward. They just don't, you know, put it down on paper.
One of the statistics that you gave me, Lisa, that I found really interesting and telling mm-hmm. As far as the importance of women in the military, they're just becoming, I think, more and more important mm-hmm. to the military, that 30% of the women who served in the military post 9/11 were deployed to a combat zone. Mm-hmm. So 30% of our...
That's pretty high.
That's pretty high. It really is. I always try in these programs to not make it about me. Mm-hmm. I do want to share, however, my own personal experience. I was embedded in Afghanistan.
Oh, right.
And so I did see female soldiers on duty in a combat zone. And I can tell you, I was so proud of my sisters. They really were, they really stepped up to the plate and were wonderful soldiers. Mm-hmm. So I think it's to the benefit of this country that women have really begun to join the military at the rates that they have, and I think that they're going to make a positive difference. And
I hope
that we'll be able to take care of some of the special needs that they do have. It's encouraging to hear that we've got special clinics mm-hmm. for them in Wilkes-Barre, and that every veterans hospital has to have at least one woman coordinator.
And just as a side note, the majority of the female veterans do not want any kind of special treatment. Look for that stuff. They just want to have the same type of benefits and resources available to them. Just be heard. That's all.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to move on now to some of the general overall services that are available, because there really is so much support out there. And we want to make sure that our audience, whether our audience is you are a veteran listening, or you are someone who loves or knows a veteran, please do look for your county coordinator. If you're in Lehigh County, Tom Applebach is right here, and his office is in the Government Center in downtown Allentown. And Lisa is here for Monroe County, and your office is where, Lisa?
We are in the administration building adjacent to the courthouse.
Okay, in Stroudsburg.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the programs that are available. The first one that I have on my list here, Tom, I believe this may be specific to Lehigh County, is the Veterans Mentor Program.
Yes, it is. Many people are starting to hear about Veterans Courts. Mm-hmm. I know it's been in the news recently. Lehigh County, and this is before my time, about 3 years ago, they set up what they call the Veterans Mentor Program. And it's sort of a hybrid or maybe quasi-judicial system where a veteran who through one way or another is involved with the criminal justice system can make an application to the steering committee to request a veteran mentor. Eligible veterans are generally, we don't take violent crimes, murder, rape, things mm-hmm. like that. A lot of times it's DUIs. Simple assaults, a lot of times stemming from mental health issues, PTSD and so forth. And the steering committee pairs up the mentee, the veteran, with a mentor. It's much more art than science. And we pair them up and kind of let them loose, if you will. We don't interfere, or hands off as much as possible. The program in 3 years has had about 125 veterans come through, two or three that we've had relapses, if you will. Been very, very successful. The pairings last anywhere from 2 months to 2 years, and they come away sometimes as great friends afterwards. But the mentor's not a friend. He's not there as a counselor. He's there, I like to equate it to more of like a sponsor through AA, where you're there to just, how are things going? Sometimes it's a phone call every other week. Mm-hmm. However they want to play it out, mm-hmm. But we stay away. And because it's not a court program, the veterans there on their own volition, not court ordered. And one of the biggest aspects that we've found anecdotally from our mentors is, and from the mentees, is if the judge tells me to do it, that's one thing, but I don't want to let another veteran down. Mm-hmm. So they work hard.
Mm-hmm. That's that's really good to know.
And that's run through the DA's office.
Okay, through the district attorney of Lehigh County, Jim Martin.
Yes.
Okay, and how would someone volunteer as a mentor, and how would the mentee know to get into this program?
To volunteer as a mentor, you can call my office. You can go to the Lehigh County website, go to the DA's drop down, and you can download an application and a brochure right there with information. You can call me. You can call the DA's office, pretrial services, adult probation sits on it, and several others sit on it. It's interesting, there's about 9 people on the committee, 2 are veterans. The other 7 are there because they want to be. A mentee, if you will, a veteran who needs the assistance, comes in various ways. Sometimes it's through a phone call to my office or another office, they've heard about it. oftentimes they come in through either adult probation because they're kind of at the end of it, or at the beginning they come in through Maureen McManus's office, pretrial services, and they're very good at, and Maureen sits on the steering committee of getting the information and bringing it to the committee.
Okay, well, that is a really valuable program for vets in Lehigh County. And if you're listening to this and you are a veteran and you were wondering how you could contribute or you want to help, becoming a mentor in this program would be a wonderful...
Always looking for new mentors.
That would be a wonderful thing to do for yourself and your fellow veterans. We're going to pause for a moment for a brief station ID. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY. It's 6:41 p.m. The temperature is 60 degrees. The skies are fair. We are expecting clear skies tonight with a low temperature around 41 degrees. Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to our last segment of Lehigh Valley Discourse, where our guests Tom Applebach of Lehigh County and Lisa Kay of Monroe County are providing valuable information regarding tonight's topic, honoring our veterans by aiding our veterans. And as we went to break, we were wrapping up about the Veterans Mentor Program in Lehigh County. And we also want to talk, and Tom, again, this may be a Lehigh County exclusive program, Homeless Veterans Task Force. You want to speak to that a bit?
Sure, absolutely. Top of my list. I've been working on it all day, actually, last 2 days with meetings. The Lehigh Valley Homeless Veterans Task Force grew out, I should point out that it's part of the Mayor's Challenge, which was started in June 2014 by First Lady Michelle Obama and Dr. Jill Biden. And Mayor Ed Pawlowski of Allentown signed on and then approached my boss about starting a task force or something, and then approached me. And I like to joke a little bit and said, what do you think of the idea? And I said, it sounds terrific. And he said, good, you're in charge. So we organized back in March. And what we've done is we brought together everything from the homeless providers, those who specialize in veteran services. And I'm not going to throw out too many acronyms here, but Lehigh Valley Center for Independent Living. They're terrific. Hope for Veterans and Catholic Charities. Legislative staffers and offices, other county offices across the region. We're working hard to bring some other offices on board to make it much more regionalized. But the task force were aimed at ending veteran homelessness by the end of 2015. That was the goal, the national goal set by President Obama back in 2009. And I don't want to say we're there yet or not, because we need to go through a process to get certified, if you will. Mm-hmm. We're starting to work through that process, which may take a while. But our ultimate goal is not to meet that deadline. It's to meet the end of veteran homelessness and to continue to work, even though we're certified at some point. The mission continues.
Right, of course. And Lisa, you do have a similar program.
We have a homeless initiative group that meets once a month. And again, it's the Hope for Veterans, which is a VA-funded organization. Salvation Army gets on board, the food pantries, Street to Feet, day centers, Family Promise. So we kind of try to network together. And you have a vet bring them to me. Let me see if they qualify for anything, similar to what Lehigh has as well. And again, it's all to, again, maybe not necessarily end it, but just to try and get it to, you'll never end everything completely because a lot of them have to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's just trying to give them the resources available.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we forged a lot of partnerships. It was very interesting at the first meeting in March where there was probably 35 to 40 people sitting around a table. And they looked across at each other and go, oh, that's who you are.
Yeah.
Or I never heard of you. And now we've got people who pick up the phone because I know they know who to call. Mm-hmm. So it's a, I don't want to really call it a partnership as much as everybody's on board on the same program.
Mm-hmm.
And working very hard together. The legislative offices have been terrific at their assistance with it. It's just been an awesome process. And Lisa was talking about ending, and we know we're never going to end homelessness, let alone veteran homelessness. So the ultimate goal is what's called functional zero. Mm-hmm. And everybody's kind of defining it their own way. But we essentially have defined our goal to reach functional zero is that homelessness is short term. It doesn't last. And our ultimate goal is if a veteran identifies as being homeless within 3 days that they've been screened, we've determined eligibility, they are truly a veteran, and things like that. Within 10 days, they're getting the services, either the VA, medical, and if they are truly chronically homeless, the VA has a program that they are automatically enrolled in medical care and assistance. And shout out to Tom Gonzalez over mm-hmm. at the VA clinic.
Absolutely.
He's tremendous to work with.
That's the VA clinic here in Allentown.
I'm sorry, yes, mm-hmm. Allentown mm-hmm. outpatient clinic. But within 10 days, we're getting them those services, not just for the veteran, but for the family. They may not qualify for VA services. Let's get them the county's mental health, the county services, whatever it is we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then within 30 days, our goal is within 30 days, we've got them in supportive or permanent housing. And if I can share just very fast, I had a meeting last week over at Lehigh Valley Center for Independent Living, LVCIL, and one of their staffers, Jamal, came in and said, I just broke my own record. He housed a veteran in 1 hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And he was bouncing off the walls. But that's how fast that they work. And we, you know, everybody working together can make that happen. So we don't have to deal with you know, 2 years of bureaucracy. If a veteran's eligible, we get them housed. If they need transitional housing that the VA can help, that's not considered housed by the definition,
mm-hmm.
but that's the road to get them into stable housing, mm-hmm. stable employment. And so we're dealing also with employment issues, transportation issues for those who don't have cars. Very difficult, especially second and third shift, to get to work. So we have a team working on that issue to start to approach how do we get a veteran who now has a job, but it's out in Brianigsville, and mm-hmm. it's a third shift. How does that person get there mm-hmm. and back?
Yeah.
Or how do they even accept the job when an mm-hmm. employer says, do you have a ride? And
what's your transportation?
Right. And that knocks them right off the list. So mm-hmm. there's issues to work through. But the task force has been absolutely tremendous. It's been great working with these folks.
And, Tom, you told me that there was a story of a vet who was just about to lose his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And you were able, through a trust fund that is available in the state of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about the trust fund and what that can do for people.
Sure. Well, this veteran in particular was had an eviction notice, was basically out of his apartment any day, had lost his job, way behind, over his head with expenses. And we were able to work through the Department of Military Veterans Affairs, through their Veterans Temporary Assistance Grant. We were able to get him money in very short notice to help pay for his rent. As a matter of fact, we got approval for the rent, for the money, and that afternoon he was going to be in court with his landlord. And the landlord, they said, oh, fine, I can wait till the check comes in the mail in a couple of days. And that same day, he got a letter from the VA that had just upped him from a 30% disability rating to 100%. So he paid his rent, able to stay there, and now he's got a better income,
mm-hmm.
and he's well on the road to just getting his life back together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
It's all about.
I was, that little assistance.
Yeah, at the beginning, go ahead.
No.
Before the show started, Lisa and I were talking. And I made the comment that when I went through accreditation training at our graduation, one of the state employees, Brian Natale, said to you new guys, you know, you're going to find out this is a calling. And mm-hmm. and he was absolutely right. It's
we love our job. We can possibly ask for.
You know, we get up in the morning and we look at mm-hmm. our calendars on, in our phone and go, oh, my God, you know, I'm not going to have a minute to myself. Let's go.
Yeah, every day's an adventure, for sure. We wear many hats, you know.
And we love it.
Lawyers
love
or doctors or psychologists, but we definitely play the role at times when we have to get the information we need to best help the veterans, and that's what it's all about.
That must be such a wonderful feeling to wake up every morning and know you're going to make a difference mm-hmm. in multiple lives throughout the day.
That is a
wonderful feeling. Mm-hmm. I want to go back because we started off at the very beginning about it because we were waiting for Major Klein to join us, and I want to come back to aid in attendance and especially about the qualifications. I know that the two of you are concerned about kind of the way aid in attendance is being sold to people and presented to people. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that just a little bit.
Well, we get a lot of phone calls, especially from family members. Sometimes in the 11th hour, you know, their needs are great and they need something immediate, which, again, with the VA processing, it has taken a great turn in the amount of time and turnaround that these claims are taking. They've really stepped it up, and the claims are taking far less time. We get a lot of calls from nursing facilities, assisted living and places like that. They have groups that go in and want to try and help, but they just don't navigate the VA system like we do. So, you know, they're getting a lot of information, and they're just unsure. They just don't know which direction to take. I think Tom can elaborate a little bit more on that, but we're trying to at least raise awareness of what we do and what we can offer, because we don't make those hardcore decisions, and we don't try to, you know, trip anybody up or, you know, mm-hmm. finagle any finances or anything to that degree. So, you know, because we do that, we handle all that paperwork. We know what we do. We do that on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And I think Tom can...
Well, I also think what Pam was alluding to was what we refer to as pension poachers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily illegal, and I want to be careful about what we say, but usually it's financial planners. And what they want to do is they help with financial planning. Part of the pension in attendance program is asset-based, so they want to get those assets hidden. And it's not illegal at this point, but the VA is working on a new rule, which is going to change the game a lot. But what they tend to do is, the unscrupulous ones, I should say, is they'll help with the financial planning, and at the same time, they'll promise, we'll help you get this benefit. Once the plan is in place, the check has cleared the bank, that claim tends to disappear, or if there's problems, they don't follow up. And Lisa and I, mm-hmm. you know, we have to step in,
By the check, Tom, mm-hmm. you mean their commission
their
check
commission
that they would
check.
Have gotten for the financial planning.
Right,
okay.
Right. And I should be clear on one thing, just to make sure. It is illegal. Federal law says that you cannot charge to help a person file claims. And our obviously our county services are, there is no fee. You know, it's illegal for someone to do that. So they don't charge to file that claim. They're very good about what they do, or they're very mm-hmm. careful. The problem is that then when that letter comes from the VA, we're missing this paperwork, or we need a document, and there's no one there to help follow through.
Okay, from having gone through the process, I do want to interject that it is a lengthy process involving a tremendous amount of paperwork and documentation, and it really behooves you to stay with it and focus on it and get all of your paperwork properly done before you submit, because once you've submitted, if they have to bounce it back to you, you can just go into limbo forever and ever.
Well, the VA is ever-changing. I don't mean to step in, but, you know, form may change and you may not know about it. Information, as much as it's available on the websites, there's still little pieces missing that you might not know. So when I have a client basically in front of me, you do the homework, get me what I need, I will handle all the forms for a form that the mm-hmm. VA has, mm-hmm. and we'll take care of the rest. You don't need to do anything more than just keep me in the loop when you get some correspondences. But yeah, it's getting the information I need. Let me work. And mm-hmm. that's pretty right. much what we do.
And it's, I mean, it's our pensions and compensation are our bread and butter. Mm-hmm. We're the experts at it. And I should add, and then Lisa, but in my office, I have two staffers, Vi Herzog as my assistant director, and Lynn Weimer. And between them, I think it's about 30 some years of experience. And they are awesome at what mm-hmm. they do. There's no doubt about it.
So people don't need to see the boss when they come in.
I joked earlier, when I've been about 6 weeks in the job, and somebody came in and said, I want to work with the director. Yeah. And I said, but that lady over there has got, you know, 20-some years of experience, and I've got 6 weeks. You know, pick your poison here.
I'm going to throw my guy out there, Josiah Schrader. He's actually a senior line medic with the National Guard, twice deployed. Very young, very, very intelligent and astute. And they made the misconception, I get it all the time, oh, is he the director? And I said, well, a female can't be a director. That's okay. I'll take it. I'm going to milk that for all it's worth. Yeah, go see him. He's the director. But yeah, they have choices, and it's really about understanding and communicating and just knowing the system is what it really comes down to.
Yeah, it's our bread and butter. But we do a multitude. We joke in my office, and maybe a little facetiously, but every phone call is a new adventure because we never know what we're going to get. But we can either assist or we'll get them to the people. And it's everything from helping to get military documents to how to get enrolled in VA health care, or how to do this, or I need my father passed away and we want to get his old medals. How do I find out what medals he had? We can assist with that. We have the resources, and we know, you know, we've got the secret squirrel phone numbers sometimes that help us.
And as I was saying in the pre-interview, we are the one-stop shop of the VA. We encompass county, state, and federal claims and benefits. So we offer a multitude of services, but we have to know a little bit about everything under the VA blanket. But we're that unique entity in the community. So. Okay.
I spent 2 days with my husband in the attic of the Monroe County Courthouse in Stroudsburg. Looking, no joke, literally in the attic, pulling down boxes from a ladder, trying to find documents that we needed for the aid in attendance.
Wow.
Yeah, so I really know what I'm talking about.
Get everything intact early on, and it's really important because, yeah, how do we find this? Or, you know, we have no idea. And again...
The hardest thing usually is the military. It's the DD-214, the military separation.
So if you have it, record it, get it down to your county. It's very, very important. You don't want to wait till the last minute. And what it really affects, what we see a lot of, is military honors. So at the time of death, when it comes to burial, it's a 2-4 day process, and it's not a lot of time. So get that information, get it into either our offices or to the courthouse, and get it somewhere safe and quick, you know, or funeral homes, wherever you're going to go.
We do want to I want to segue into that quickly because we're winding down here. And that is, we want our audience to know that when you say one-stop shop, you mean from the time you are discharged to the time you go somewhere else.
Yes.
And that is you help with funerals. You can help with military cemeteries. Mm-hmm. You provide flags for coffins. So when a...
Not for coffins.
Not for coffins.
I'm sorry.
We provide them with the marker and the flag for veterans' graves.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood. So when you have a veteran in your family who passes away, one-stop shop to your county director, right? Because you
The funeral homes contact us with that information. So we either... have a file on that veteran, or, you know, we reach out to the family or they reach out to us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they need to have certain paperwork in place to be able to get those benefits.
Right. And we can help find that paperwork ahead of time if they can't find it.
Absolutely.
I did want to add very, very quickly, Northampton County is Freddie Ramirez, as he's the director over there. And hopefully I don't get you in trouble with your commissioners. But just because we work for a specific county doesn't mean that if you live in another county, we won't work with you. As far as we're concerned, a veteran is a veteran. And if it's more convenient to go to Lisa because you live in northern Lehigh County, then by all means, we don't fight over veterans.
Right over the border as well, New York and Jersey.
We just want to help them out. Except for specific county services.
So it's the same principle as the hospitals and the clinics. If you're a veteran, you're a veteran. You walk into whatever works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, closing statements. What would you like our audience to know, and what do you have to say to our audience out there about your services and what's important?
Basically, just, you know, awareness. Just reach out to us to get information, because we can provide most, if not all, of that for you and let you get on your way and get the proper health care and proper benefits. I just want to say real quick, I'm going to plug in, the VA Medical Center in Wilkes-Barre is going to have a Women Veterans Luncheon that I was asked to speak for Monday, November 9th from 11:30 It starts at noon. So just contact. You can contact myself and or Pat Conroy, who's the Women Program Coordinator up at Wilkes-Barre Hospital. It's turn women. Veterans Day is Veterans Week. I guess I can speak for every county around here. Weekend to the following week and beyond. But it's just raising awareness.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Women Veterans Luncheon. That's mm-hmm. wonderful to know yeah. about. Tom, your closing statement.
What Lisa said. Call us. we're here to assist. I always say you can't get a no if you don't ask the question.
Exactly.
So feel free to call us. If I can throw out the office number.
Of course.
General office number is going to go right out of my head. 610-782-3295. That's our general office number.
Okay.
Also our website. And call us.
Okay.
If you're a veteran, you have a question,
all right.
We're here.
If you veterans are out there listening, please access these services. They're here for you. You've earned them. And if you know a veteran or love a veteran, please see that they get in touch with their county office and they access these services. I do want to thank my guest this evening, Major Nathan Klein, U.S. Air Force retired, who joined us by phone earlier in the program. And here in the studio with me for the hour, Tom Applebach, Director of Lehigh County Office of Veterans Affairs, and Lisa Kay, Director of Veterans Service Officer for Veterans Affairs, Monroe County. And thank you for listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY Community Public Radio. I'm Pamela Varcone. Good night.